B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.404 in the afternoon here on a Friday, agenda-free Friday, brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. We're joined by Christopher L. Gasper of the Boston Globe at this time, as we are every single week. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Oh, we're just, you know, doing the usual thing here. I want to start off by asking you about Murray's opening take of the whole day, which is, apparently the Celtics are still interested in trading for Anthony Davis and giving up significant assets for Anthony Davis, even though Anthony Davis is basically standing in front of the Celtics corporate offices with a bullhorn. Blowhorn?
Bullhorn.
Bullhorn. Bullhorn.
Yeah, you got it right the first time.
With a bullhorn in his mouth, shouting, "I don't want to come here." Okay? He's basically screaming in your face, "I don't want to be there, and I'm not going to stay there." Yet the Celtics are still willing to trade real assets for this guy for 1 year. How do you feel about that?
I mean, look, obviously it's very risky, but I think it sort of fits Danny Ainge's profile, which is that he is going to be somebody who is going to always be on the hunt for talent, and he has a tremendous amount of confidence in himself and in the organization that they can convince one of these guys to stay. You know, the hardest thing in the NBA is getting the guy. I think a lot of these teams look at it this way. The hardest thing is acquiring the guy.
So then let
you'll
me
figure
ask
out
you.
The other part
okay.
later.
Then why didn't they trade Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard last year? It was the same dynamic, one year, uncertainty,
yep.
But it's talent.
Because I think they thought they didn't need Kawhi Leonard. They had enough talent. It's like, okay, we have this team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals, and now we're bringing back healthy Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. The short answer is they overestimated what Gordon Hayward would be able to give them. They did not realize that Gordon Hayward was like 35% of Gordon Hayward.
So you're saying, and I get it, I think, it wasn't a risk, you know, assessment. It was, we don't need the guy.
There was a risk assessment to a degree because of where Kawhi was at. But the reality, I think, is that if they felt like they needed that guy, like Toronto did, then they would have made the deal. But they felt like, okay, let's weigh the risk of this. Well, you know, do we really even need this? Like, how much better is he if he's healthy than what we have? We don't need this guy. So why sort of sacrifice something from a long-term standpoint for 1 year of this guy when we feel like we should be just as good, just as competitive without him? So obviously, that was a miscalculation. Like, in hindsight, they should have traded for Kawhi Leonard.
Okay, so you think that now they would give up Jason Tatum for 1 year of Anthony Davis?
Yeah, I do think they would do it.
Oh,
I do.
I don't.
I don't agree with it, but I think they would do it.
And
yeah.
So
this is Danny's white whale. Let's be honest about it. I mean, it's been that way for a while. You're talking about a guy who's, you know, 26 years old, you know, 6'11", can do pretty much everything you want on a basketball court. It's hard to find those guys.
Is he a good rim protector?
He is a good rim.
Yeah, oh,
yeah. He is. Yeah, he's
oh,
an
yeah.
excellent shot blocker. He's not the most physical guy in the world, though. I'll say that.
No, he's an athletic big man that has an offensive game. I mean, there's arguments to be made for doing it.
Are there numbers him head-to-head versus Giannis? Does he get Giannis when they play, or would he get Lopez or, you know, one of the big guys?
Well, so it's a good question. Wouldn't he be the guy that'd have to guard Giannis?
I think that would be part of the calculus for the Celtics.
It has to be.
If you're looking at the East and what the landscape's going to be moving forward, is this somebody that can help you slow down Giannis?
So you're saying they've given up one lottery pick for Kyrie, who burned him after a year and a half.
Yeah.
And now they're giving up another lottery pick, a legit hit in the lottery, not just a future pick, but a hit in Jason Tatum. For 1 year, when his agent comes out this week, purposely comes out and basically tells Boston, go F itself. I mean, the quote's unbelievable. Again.
But you know Rich Paul's agenda, though, too. Like, you know, all due respect to Rich Paul, and I think he's actually a shrewd business guy. But in this particular circumstance, like, Anthony Davis and his dad, they're idiots if they don't understand that Rich Paul does not have Anthony Davis' best interest at heart. He has LeBron James' best interest at heart in this situation.
Okay, well, it's still the guy that he's hired and, you know, is his guy. Rich Paul says this, meaning the Celtics, they can trade for him, but it will be for 1 year. I mean, if the Celtics traded for Anthony Davis, we would go there and we would abide by our contract and we would go into free agency in 2020. I've stated that to them. But in the event that he decides to walk away and you gave away assets, don't blame Rich Paul. I mean, he's basically sitting there screaming in your face, don't trade for him.
And I just don't understand how people can read that or hear that and still say, well, Anthony Davis didn't say he wanted, didn't want to come here. I don't understand what you mean. Oh, boy.
Well, that's sort of what Chris is saying there, that, you know, the player feels differently than the agent or like.
No, I think Danny looks at it and says, we can convince the player. And at the end of the day.
Yeah, how'd that work with Kyrie Irving?
The player has the agent work for him, not the other way around. So, you know, that's what agents get paid to do, to sort of be the bad guy. And it's clear Anthony Davis has been very, very transparent on where he wants to go. He wants to go to the Lakers or the Knicks or some big market. He doesn't want to go to Boston. So Rich Paul puts that out there. However, if you get Anthony Davis here, and I'm not saying this would happen because I don't think it would, but I'm just telling you why the Celtics are entertaining this when a lot of people think it's foolhardy and foolish to do so. In that league, the hardest part is to get the guy. And I think a lot of teams feel that when they feel like, we'll get him, we'll deal with the repercussions and convincing him to stay and coaxing him to stay later. Let's just get him on the roster.
I mean, I'm with Chris. I wouldn't do it, but I think they might. And again, we were talking about this off the air just a second ago. The Rick Grosbeck, who was in with us, told the Herald today, I don't have any interest in being mediocre for the next 10 or 15 years. I'd rather go for it. Hit the driver off the fairway. I occasionally do that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't care about the golf game. But I think what he's saying is, we did it with Kyrie, we'll do it again.
Yeah, if you're Phil Mickelson on the 17th tee at the U.S. Open.
Correct.
Off the hospitality tent.
Yep. The Effenhoff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, totally.
Jimmy? That's no, one of my all-time favorites.
So I think, though, that, see, I fear that they would do this.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way, I mean, you know, I'm surprised that you're, this goes back to the Kyrie thing too. Like, you know, we talked about this, and I warned you. I said, don't take this guy at his word, because even though he might mean it now, he's sort of a you know, capricious sort.
Chris, I don't think you ever meant it.
But keep going.
But you love the Trader Danny thing, so I hope just for Sports Talk Radio purposes, you're playing the Rube here. Being
no.
Like, why would they do this? Because you're all about Trader Danny. You know why he would do it. You already know the answer.
No, but see, I think he's about winning trades. I don't think he's about, you know, ultimately the Kyrie trade's going to be a loss. If he walks, it's going to be a loss.
And I think that's one of the reasons he maybe feels like his hand is forced to make this deal for Davis. We're going to lose an asset like that. We got to try to replace it with another one with Davis, and I'll roll the dice here, even if he's saying he doesn't want to stay.
He's been more cautious in some places than people give him credit for. I mean, he is Trader Danny's a great trader, but he held back on the Kawhi Leonard thing, and it burned him. But, I mean, he could have made that trade. He didn't. I think there's others he could have made.
He held back on Jimmy Butler and Paul George as well.
Yeah, I think there were deals to be made there along the way, and he actually, you know, held up a little bit. I just think, boy, even if Anthony Davis comes for 1 year and wins you a title, if he does what Kawhi Leonard just did, for 10 years of Jason Tatum, a franchise pillar, that I would definitely not do that. And I don't think they will either. I don't think they will at the end of the day. What percent chance do you give of Kyrie Irving returning to the Celtics? 0 to 100, percent chance he returns.
10.
Oh, that's high.
That is way too high. I'd say like 2 tops.
Jimmy, what's the percent chance that
we're talking about Kyrie Irving here. You guys got to remember, like, who knows? Like, you know, he could wake up one day, see like what the time is on his alarm clock, think it's like some sign that he's supposed to go back to Boston. So, I mean, you guys
11-11.
Remember who we're talking
Jimmy,
about.
Jimmy, what's the percent chance that Kyrie Irving returns to the Celtics?
I say 0.0.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. But you had 10 feels high, Chris.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, I've been telling you for a while he's gone. I mean, I still think he's gone, but
thank you.
You know, the whole Durant thing could sway him. And look, here's the reality of this guy. Like, until it's done, nobody knows. Who knows? Like, I mean,
the unpredictability
factor. I'm not really joking. Like,
yeah.
He could walk down the street and see something that he interprets as a sign. He's supposed to go back.
He's such a whack job. It might piss him off that he starts hearing everyone saying, oh, he's gone. I'm gone. Well, I'll show them. I'm coming back.
Chris, it's a numbers combination. It's not a sign.
Only on this show.
Numerology.
Only on this show could a guy say 90% Kyrie's gone and say, ooh, defend that position. Like, wait a minute. Where's the other 10% coming from?
Oh, he's gone. You know, I told you guys that at the Super Bowl. I looked right into the camera and told you he was gone. He's gone.
Okay. Final question on the NBA, then we'll get to the phones. Your thought on the series last night, what it says about whatever, Kawhi Leonard, what it says about the league, the fallout of the injuries.
Steph Curry?
Your takeaway there.
I feel like I might need more time for the Steph Curry discussion. But the takeaway of the whole playoffs is obviously, you know, Kawhi Leonard's one of the top three players in the league. And people underestimated him, and they questioned his desire to play last year in San Antonio, and they were wrong. The one thing I will say, though, and people are talking about, oh, the Celtics, you know, should make the Anthony Davis trade for this reason. Look what happened with the Raptors and Kawhi. What people are missing, look, Kawhi was huge for them. They were desperate. They needed to change their culture. But they don't win unless Siakam develops into a borderline all-star. Like, that was part of it, too. That was a third guy that they never had when they were there, when it was DeRozan
and it
was Lowry. That was huge. And I'm not taking anything away from Leonard, but they had six guys averaging double figures in the NBA Finals. And Kawhi was clearly the best player throughout the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. He averaged 30 points per game. But he had more help with that Raptors team than I think people realize. And really, in the Finals, you know, Kawhi was really, he was good. But, I mean, he shot 43% from the field. Like, this wasn't Jordan. So I think Siakam developing into the player that he developed into, totally unforeseen, was a big part of Toronto winning. So for a team out here looking to duplicate this Masai Ujiri formula of I'm going to trade for this guy
who's what?
A premium player. Masai Ujiri?
What is that?
He's the GM of the Raptors.
Got it. Thank you.
Trying to duplicate this formula, just keep in mind, it wasn't just trading for Leonard. There were some other things that had to go right along the way as well.
I mean, Siakam and Lowry were the leading scorers last night.
Okay, but to me, it's more about the giveaway. Well, what did Toronto really give up? They gave up a losing player that had run his course and was deep into his career. That's a whole different, you know, ball of wax.
Completely.
Than Jason Tatum or Jaylen, third overall picks early in their career. Yeah. It's a whole different
It all worked out in their favor because you had Popovich down there who didn't really want to rebuild, was more interested in an established guy that he thought would still allow him to contend. And the Spurs, let's be honest, they were selling really low on Kawhi Leonard. Are the Pelicans selling low on Anthony Davis? No, David Griffin is executing an auction, and this is going to be the highest bidder. It's a completely different circumstance.
Okay. I just never know with you and your word. You know, what was the one? It wasn't Mercurial. What did you give him the other? Just what'd you call Kyrie?
Oh, Capricious?
Capricious? Yeah. Mercurial?
I didn't want to use Mercurial because you get mad when I say that.
What's the GM's name?
Masai Ujiri.
Yeah, so how could I tell? I thought it was just another fancy word you were throwing at me. Calls with Gasper right after this.
Is that what you want to do? You don't want to give it to the government? You want to keep it?
Well,
on the 18th tee at the U.S. Open, don't hit it off the... Jimmy. Oh. Don't hit it off the freaking hospitality tent, okay?
That is unbelievable, Maz. That is unbelievable.
I think I caught myself.
That's a new low for us.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Iguodala lobs the pass over to the far sideline. Green tracks it down to Curry for three. Misses. The ball is loose. It's picked up by Kawhi Leonard. Dribbled out near center. It's loose and on the floor.
They call the timeout. Draymond Green called the timeout. They don't have one left, so that's going to be a technical foul.
With 0.9 seconds remaining, Leonard at the line to ice the game and to win the championship. Free throw is up and in. The Raptors by four. Cousins inbounds the ball. Curry heaves it at the buzzer. It's no good. Franchise history, league history. The Toronto Raptors are NBA champions. A city, a province, a country celebrates. The NBA championship is due north.
One more, Gasper, and then go to the phones. What do the Durant and Klay Thompson injuries mean to the all the dominoes in the offseason? And how do you, you know, give me a prediction how it's going to shake out.
Okay. Well, obviously, they're pretty significant in the NBA landscape. I think teams other than the Warriors were maybe looking at those guys to sort of transform their teams. There were some rumors that Thompson maybe would go to the Lakers and team up with LeBron or could go to the Clippers. Obviously, that's not going to happen now. So for some of these teams out here looking for a free agent to change the balance of power.
So
that's
you think
happen?
So if the Clippers were going to give Klay Thompson a max deal to play with Kawhi Leonard, they won't do it now?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think that they will. The other thing is, I think when you're psychologically, when you're in a situation where you're vulnerable, isn't it easier to go back to what you know? So if you're Klay Thompson and you were thinking about leaving, and I'm not sure he really was, but maybe you were because you felt like, oh, Durant's their real priority here. I think given what happened, you'd be more inclined to go back to Golden State.
Durant,
I still think he's gone. You know, I think the Knicks or whoever, they're going to basically, and people have written this, Chris Mannix wrote this, they're going to be willing to pay for 3 years of him and give him, you know, 4 years at the max. Basically say, we don't care, it's only going to be 3 years. I just don't know if he'll be the same player. What's going for him, though, is he's a seven-footer. He'll still be able to shoot over the top of people. How I think it's going to change the NBA landscape, though, is that now there's blood in the water, right? Everybody knows the Warriors aren't this indomitable team. So these other teams, if they feel like they can make a move, either in free agency or a trade, they'll feel like they have a real chance. I think it's going to embolden the rest of the league, and you're going to see some people sort of go out on a limb, maybe even Danny Ainge with Anthony Davis,
because
they feel like this thing's wide open. It's not Golden State's to lose anymore.
Okay, who goes with Kyrie to Brooklyn? They opened up a second max slot.
That's a good question.
I'm not going to hold you to it. You're not guaranteeing anything. Yeah.
I'm not sure they're going to. I mean, they opened up a second max spot with the trade with Atlanta, but I'm not sure they're going to get anybody else.
Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so Jimmy mentioned Tobias Harris to me, but I could see that. But how good does that really make the Nets? I mean, that to me, the whole thing just, like, let's take a step back. The idea that Kyrie's going to leave this team to go to Brooklyn where he might get to play with Tobias Harris, that tells you how much he doesn't want to be here. That's the bigger story, because I'm not sure they're even going to get a second guy, and it seems like he's signed, sealed, and delivered to go there. So that tells you how much he wants out here.
It also tells you that he doesn't necessarily care about winning. That's what it tells you.
He already has a ring. He had one of the biggest shots in NBA history.
One of the biggest problems with all these guys on the market. Have rings.
Who's the second guy with Durant with New York?
It could be Kemba Walker. I think that would be a good fallback for the Knicks to bring in Kemba.
Walker said today he wants first priority to stay with Charlotte.
Yeah, but I mean, Jordan's cheap. He's not. I don't think they're going to give him the you know, super max, which he's eligible for. And if somebody like Durant comes calling, you know, I think it's a little challenging if you're Kemba Walker. I think Kemba Walker wants to stay there. But if you're the Hornets, do you want to sort of just pay this guy all this money? And he's a fantastic player, but he's not enough to really tip the balance of power in the East. You're just going to be treading water.
I just think the NBA is so wide open right now, which is so great for that league. It really is. And maybe where Kawhi Leonard goes becomes the favorite. And that's, you know, he's now the power. He's the chip. He's the domino to fall in the whole league where it was Durant before last night, or before this week anyway. So those are your NBA thoughts, your calls on everything. Travis in Portsmouth on the Celts. Go ahead, Travis.
Yeah, I heard what Stephen A. said the other day, where he said Danny Ainge took too long to defend Kyrie since the end of the season. The guy who had a heart attack took too long to defend Kyrie. I mean, the team has bent over backwards to defend Kyrie since the moment he got here, especially since the season ended. The coach has taken the blame. Wick Grousek has taken the blame. Danny Ainge himself has taken the blame. Yet somehow it's the Celtics' fault.
Did Stephen A. say
defending Kyrie?
Stephen A. said the Celtics haven't defended Kyrie Irving?
He said it took Danny Ainge too long to defend him.
What?
Since the season has ended.
Oh, my.
That's a fact.
Oh, my God. Travis, thank you for the call and the info. They have kissed that guy's ass like no other team has kissed the ass of a player in this town in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I am sorry. Give me a break.
It's got to be coming from the Kyrie camp too, right? I mean, again, like I would think that this is somehow their way to spin Stephen A. Like, that's ass.
They let him skip regular season games that mattered to go grab ass at the All-Star game and then defended it vehemently.
It said it was for the betterment of the team. It was better than any practice they could have.
Oh my God.
Remember I told you guys, that was the part of the season where I was like, oh, a little piece of Brad's soul just died when he had to tell that lie on the air here.
Oh my God. That is laughable. I am sorry. Pete in Delaware, what do you got, Pete?
Hey guys. Yeah, I heard that Stephen A one too. That put me through the roof. Hey, as far as this goes,
Pete, you're killing me. Okay, your phone just went out. How about Christian in Foxborough with something from last night? Hi, Christian.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I'm just curious. So did Bob Myers go out of his way for Klay Thompson like he did for Kevin Durant and say, it's an ACL tear?
So, Chris, you mean blubber like an idiot?
Oh, my God. But did you notice him? Did you see him in the tunnel?
Oh, yeah.
He was right there. He was right there when Klay Thompson went off the floor. He walked him through the tunnel to the locker room. And then when they pulled Thompson back out, he came out and shot the free throws. What's the guy's name? Myers?
Bob Myers.
Myers stood there. And then when Klay Thompson sort of made moves to want to stay on the floor, Myers was shaking his head like, no, you're coming in. Myers was right there. This guy was right there making sure that Klay Thompson did not go back on the floor, which, you know, he's clearly overcompensating, but I also kind of give him credit for because that cost him the championship. Or, you know, you could look at it that way, that
sure
cost him that game, which could have cost him the championship. But after screwing the pooch with Durant, he wasn't going back and going to do the same thing with Klay Thompson. And I find that whole situation amazing. That Klay Thompson wanted to keep playing and would have kept playing unless they forced him off the floor. I earned huge respect for Klay Thompson last night.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, but Bob Myers? Seriously? I like, now that I hear it again, I still feel the same way about it I felt on day one when Durant went down. Like, there's no other term to use than blubbering idiot.
Well, or
you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department. And
it's like a sports injury.
Okay, so some people have that
he didn't lose a kidney.
Was he playing for Durant?
I think so. I think it's genius.
Crocodile tears.
Oh, yeah, players sure, buy into that thing. Like, oh, this dude's down. Like,
he really cares.
He really cares. He's like committed. It's not about the team. He cares about me as an individual.
Oh,
let's,
maybe.
Jimmy, roll back and let's hear the whole thing. It's just too tasty.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow. Prior to coming back, he went through 4 weeks with our medical team, and it was thorough, and it was experts and multiple MRIs and multiple doctors, and we felt good about the process. He was cleared to play tonight. That was a collaborative decision. I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world, and if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department.
And enough. So,
man. Again, the day before this, Sam Kennedy, the president of the Red Sox, was as businesslike as you possibly could be, talking about David Ortiz.
Who got shot?
Sorry, Murray. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Because, no, Maz, you should have the same kind of reaction. That is ridiculous. This guy's blubbering like a pilled-up divorcee after a bottle of rosé.
I run our basketball operations department.
He left me first secretary.
What a mess.
And the other thing is this idea that it's an Achilles injury, we don't know the severity. Lie.
Right. You know exactly what happened.
It's a lie. It's a lie. I can tell you for a fact, it's a lie. They brought him in there, they squeezed his calf, his foot didn't move, and they said he ruptured his Achilles. It's called the Thompson test. I had it. I know. That's what it's called. You see, again, you squeeze the calf, and if the foot doesn't move, they say, bad sign here. Your foot's not connected to your leg anymore.
Felger wants to drop you so bad for your story.
I was
going to
say, don't take this as an opening out there that now I want to hear about your Achilles. This is the Felger and Maz show, so Maz is allowed. No one else.
We don't know the severity. Lie. That was a lie. They just like they knew the severity of Klay Thompson last night as soon as they brought him into the locker room. They played around with his knee and they went, your ACL's gone. You're done. Probably till like the middle of next year at least. They know. The blubbering idiot.
I still think it was balls to come back and hit those free throws and hit him.
Oh, yeah. No. Klay Thompson, I give credit to. But the GM? Oh, my God, please.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know
how do I say this?
The extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow. Prior to coming back, he.
Can you imagine if this guy were a football GM? He's. Oh my God. He's, I think he ruptured his spleen.
You can blame me. I run our basketball operations department.
Seriously, what is big sissy.
Here comes Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Filger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And I said this the day that they signed Kyrie. They used to be a pace and space team where the ball and the movement dictated who got the shot. Kyrie Irving is a ball-dominated, isolation type of player. They used to be a team where Al Horford, their center, led them in assists.
Right.
Okay, that was their style. Now they've chosen to give the ball to Kyrie to take them home. He's shown that he can't be the best player on a contending team. And I agree with you. He's done in Boston. And you ready for this? You ready for this? The teammates will help him pack.
So that was Jalen Rose weeks ago on Kyrie Irving, and maybe the bags are packed and just about gone. Although Gasper gives it a 10% chance he returns. 10%, that's high.
Yeah, it's the 10% chance I'd give Kyrie of doing anything, though. it's not specific to the Celtics.
I get
it's
it.
Just right, I'm specific going to Kyrie.
I'm going to play in China.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or just saying, I'm going to retire from the NBA, and now, I want to play professional lacrosse.
10%.
I think there's a 10% chance of that pretty much with anything.
Got it. Rocco in Saugus, he's got an NBA thought for us. Hi, Rocco.
Hey, let me vent, Mike, okay, for 1 minute. All right, remember, I called last summer about Klay Thompson not being on the top 20 SI NBA list, and I was heated about that. Last night, you know whose fault that was that Klay got hurt? You know whose fault? That was Curry's fault, that he should have passed the ball a second early. That was a second too late, gave Danny Green time to come back, and that's what happened to Klay. Get Klay out of the Golden State Warriors, man. Go to L.A. Lakers. Go team up with LeBron. LeBron, give you that ball back, and you wouldn't never got hurt, man. People don't understand. Curry is a liable on defense. Klay has to cover two people, his guy and Curry's guy, man. That's what Klay does, man. Klay's the best player in Golden State, man. I'm heated. I'm really heated, man.
I can tell.
Get me off, man.
Rocco, honestly, I just wouldn't blame Curry for the injury. I mean,
just another Maz enabler right there.
He went up and came down wrong. I mean, that's no one's fault.
To me, I put that under the category of playing professional basketball.
Thank you.
I don't know how it doesn't happen more, honestly.
Yeah, and look, I know this has been a theory out there in the last day or so, too, and I think there's probably some validity to it. Those guys have played a lot of extra games.
Yeah, they have.
They've played a lot of extra games, and I know that you know, they get breaks built in during the year, and what do they call them? Load management, Chris,
yes,
right? That's what they call them now, load management.
Yes.
So there's a lot of that, right? There's a lot of that, but still, it's a long season.
Why do you think of the Orchids of Asia? Why is that? Why do you do that? You keep going.
Cup your hands.
Keep going.
No, so but I do think there is something to the, you know, the tread on the tires. And, you know, you play as much basketball as those guys do year-round. You're going year-round, then you're playing high-intensity games. Sooner or later, you're probably going to blow a tire.
I just think it's amazing that he came back and wanted to stay. Good for him. John in Norwell. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got a couple moves that the Celtics could make in the offseason. First of all, you need a point guard. Go trade for Chris Paul. Second of all, give a max contract to Kemba Walker. You guys are going to kill
this
one. But the Celtics need a guy like Draymond Green. Sign Boogie Cousins.
Oh, my God. How is Boogie Cousins like Draymond Green?
Man, this is
the most
cool.
Hateable Celtics team in history.
And you want Chris Paul and Kemba?
This is pretty cool, obviously, in a no-salary cap league.
Exactly.
Wait. There's a salary cap? Like, come on.
How would you feel about Chris Paul?
No, I'm good. He's past his prime. He's not what he used to be, and he hasn't won. So I'm good on Chris Paul.
How do you feel about Capella?
Clint Capella? I like him, but, you know, he's a rim runner, rim protector. I don't really want to spend significant money. Robert Williams could become Clint Capella light. I'm not interested in that. That's not going to tip the scales.
Me neither. I don't want Capella either.
I'm good. I don't need that.
Kemba Walker.
I like Kemba a lot as a player, but again, I don't think he really moves the needle in terms of you being a championship team. You know, I know Kyrie has some strong feelings on Kemba Walker and how he should be covered by NBA teams, but I like him a lot. I think he's really good, but I don't put him in that class of, say, like, you know, Damian Lillard. Like, for me,
City would love him, though, I think. You know,
Kemba,
tough, doesn't miss any games.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a really good player. But for me, like, if you're telling me guys I want, you know, outside of free agency, and it, realistically, like, Bradley Beal, I think there's still a lot more there. I think playing for a coach like Brad Stevens, he could develop even more. I think that's a guy who could develop. I always sort of call it, like, the Harden theory. Like, is there a guy on a team now who's pretty good, but not, like, a superstar elite? And if you pluck him and put him on your team, he can develop into that sort of elite type of superstar. I know you guys don't like Harden. I get it. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, that type of guy. And to me, Beal's that type of player where there's still room there for him to elevate his game.
Is he unrestricted?
No, you'd have to trade for him. He has 3 years left on his deal, which would sort of make him like a bargain. But I'd be more interested in trading for him than Anthony Davis, to be honest.
Long commercial-free segment is next with Casper.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
I think it's more important that somebody can pitch with a lead late in the game. And so we have a couple of those guys. Before we make any proclamation, I think we need to find out how else we play from here. And I think what Stephen Wright does for us in that regard.
All right, quick Red Sox thought before Gasper gets out of here. That was Dave Dombrowski the other day talking about his bullpen, which he is staunchly defensive of. And then he mentions the impact that Stephen Wright will have. Stephen Wright, I can't even do that with a straight face. The knuckleballer, the fat knuckleballer who's coming off a PED suspension.
Correct.
Where does he fit in back there?
He doesn't.
You can bring him into close games?
He does. Look, it's not unprecedented. I mean, they did it with Wakefield.
Wakefield did it for
ago.
A little bit, I know.
But. Right, it was about, I don't know, maybe a third of a season, if that. But like, the you know, I think it's asinine. And the other thing is, let's say that Wright is half decent. You can't use him in the playoffs. I mean, that's out. He's suspended for PEDs. He can't play in the postseason.
I forgot about that.
That's a good point.
He's out. So there's no gain there. And the part of the comment that I also found interesting there, he said, is before we make any proclamations, we need to see how we play here. I think there's a chance they just say, we're not doing anything. This team's not worth it.
See, I would have a hard time with that, though, just given their roster. I know they won last year. They've re-signed guys like Sale and Bogarts, but there's still a little bit of a window here. You still have Porcello on the team and Mookie and JBJ. And the other thing is, like, I'm sorry, like, they're going to make the playoffs by default. Like, who's their competition for that second wild card?
Cleveland's
been decimated by injuries to their pitching staff. They'll get Clevinger back on Monday, but we'll see how long it lasts. And they can't hit. They have no outfielders. I don't buy Texas for a second with Logan Forsythe and Hunter Pence and these other retreads running around on that team. And they'll fade like every Texas team does in August because it's too hot down there. And then it's Oakland. I mean, Oakland is really, to me, your only real competition for the second wild card. So the second wild card, I think, is sort of a parachute for the Red Sox. I think they're going to get into the playoffs. They don't have to be that good. They could win 85 games and get in as the second wild card. So I don't think you can just bag the season if you're Dombrowski.
Yeah, I mean, Chris might be right. The league blows. But I still, I don't know, if that's the case, if they can make it right now, why give up anything from a farm system that's already razor thin? Like, then just go in what you got, and you're going to use the starters out of the bullpen in the postseason anyway. So you ride it up with Stephen Wright. I just would not surprise me, given that comment, if they basically stay the same or close, if they do nothing. I'd rather them sell Porcello and get something back.
But isn't this all more about the luxury tax than it is about anything else you guys are talking about?
Yeah, it's a part of it.
That's a factor. There's no question.
Part of it.
I mean, they were a different team in a different spot last year, and they still did nothing.
What do you mean?
I mean, they had nothing in the bullpen.
But
what
yeah,
I mean
but
is
they brought like, in Eovaldi and Pierce. Those were moves.
Right.
And
well,
the argument,
did, I guess. I'm
the,
sorry.
The
sorry,
argument,
sorry,
the
sorry.
Argument from Dombrowski was that he felt like Eovaldi would be more impactful. And they were in on Kelvin Herrera.
They did bring in
Eovaldi, they wanted him, and then he hurt himself again with the Nationals. So they were definitely, they did stuff and were trying to do stuff.
Yeah, and Britton, right? They talked on him, too.
That's right.
They did
well,
bring in Kinsler, if that even counts. I'm not sure that counts.
Well, it'd be nice to have Ty Buttrey back. So, yeah, I guess that counts.
Yeah. I mean, he has. He's pitched well for them.
Well.
So look, I just, my issue with them acquiring someone, because it would be a low money guy. You're talking about what? A third of the season, if you get a $9 million reliever, that's $3 million. They can afford that. They get enough cushion there to be able to make that move. My bigger issue is you're going to give up more players from a farm system that blows. Like, no, not for this team. And the other thing is, if I were running the team as a matter of principle, I would look at the players and go, uh-uh. No, I'm not giving you help when you've had your head up your ass. No help. You do it on your own. You start playing your level, there's your help. I'm not giving you more help.
But they do.
I've given you enough.
But they do need some sort of closer option. And to me, that's one of the easiest things. Like, you'd be Alex Colome or, like, you know, Greg Holland, who's doing it for the Diamondbacks, or Shane Green for the Tigers. Like, one of these bad teams is going to sell off their closer. And that's really what they need. The bullpen is not bad. It's just that they don't have a closer. There's nobody to go to there. And nothing undermines a team faster than instability at the back end of the bullpen. They have enough to get to the ninth. They need a ninth inning guy. And I feel like one of these terrible teams will sell off their closer for pennies on the dollar. And they should make that move.
All right, let me grab a...
No, I was just saying in October, it might be Eovaldi. Who the hell knows?
Let me grab a couple calls here before Gasper gets out of here. On the Sox, Justin in Gloucester. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Maz, did I hear you say that the 2013 World Series didn't count?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
It was a fake championship.
Asterisk. He put an asterisk on it.
It wasn't a real championship.
That was the year that Ortiz hit the Grand Slam and Torrey Hunter went over the fence.
Yeah.
Like, that was awesome.
No, it was. It was great. It just was a fluke. I mean, they didn't plan for it. They struck lightning and, you know, they got lucky. It wasn't anything sustainable.
Wasn't a true championship team.
No. Not even close. No, please.
It was a fluke. You got no enjoyment from it. You would have rathered the Red Sox build towards the future.
They were lucky they won 85 games.
This is why
you want to know the truth.
This is why you
actually, I think that
was
what their advanced model that year said they'd win 80. Carmine said they'd win 85. It was an 85-win team.
Yeah. If everything went right, they'd win 85. They got 95 in a world championship.
Or was 89? Something like that, yeah.
That's why you want no part of Kawhi Leonard in any kind of trade. You don't want a one-off.
No. Different league. Different league. I'm telling you, I've never, ever put last year's Red Sox team in the same breath as 2013. I never did that.
Yeah, but
that's just people hearing things that I don't say.
They missed the playoffs. You'll find a way to hate them.
Oh, no. Absolutely. There's no. that's a promise, Murray. They're woefully underachieving. No, that's annoying.
He's saying 13 was a one-off fluke.
And
this,
it was.
This team's a real team.
Yeah, this is a real team.
Yeah. Jack in the car, what do you got for us?
I'm just talking about David Ortiz and where you guys think he ranks in the pantheon of Boston sports greats. I'm too young to remember much before turn of the century, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on him versus Brady over the last few
years. Well, no, Brady's higher. Brady's the pet. We're not doing Rushmore, but I'd say this. Like, I'm not this, you know, I'm not this group of olds that glorifies the Ted Williams, you know, blah, 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 yes, guys that never won anything. And I know I'm not blaming those guys for not having won anything. Except Ted Williams did hit 100 in his one World Series. Is
something
that right?
Like that. Yeah, he 200,
hurt.
I think.
He was hurt, but go ahead.
And Pesky held the ball. And Yaz struck out with runners on in 1978. I mean, I remember all their failures.
Popped up.
Popped up, to third baseman. So I know all that. I value Ortiz more than any of those crusty old guys because Ortiz won. So,
most impactful Red Sox player of all time.
Thank you. So notice he didn't say best because I'm not telling you he's the best. But I'd take Ortiz over any Red Sox in history.
Yep, he's the most impactful Red Sox player in team history. Now, again, Ted Williams gets into a different area. He's trying to add in the war and the, you know, all of that stuff. But in terms of the on-field, there's never been anybody like Ortiz. And I would say, you know, I don't know, I'm not doing the Rushmore thing, but we're talking three or four athletes in Boston's history. Brady's number one, Orr's in there, and Russell.
Chris,
that's it.
Chris, you got a thought on
I would put Bird ahead of Ortiz.
Would you?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't.
I would. Better player.
He probably was. Do you have a thought on the Ortiz situation down in the DR?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously unfortunate. I mean, it seems like at this point I want to know, like, who in the country is not implicated in this? Because it seems like pretty much everybody, was. And if you have this many minds together, they couldn't execute this? I mean, I'm glad they didn't, but it's amazing with all these people being implicated that that was the best that they could do. So fortunate, obviously, for David Ortiz that they didn't execute this plan. But it's just strange how – I have to be honest, I'm a little suspicious – from a law enforcement standpoint, that they keep grabbing all these people. And it makes me feel like, are they trying to hide something on their side, like some sort of involvement? And are they just pulling all these patsies out of these neighborhoods? Because it's just strange to have this many people involved and to have it messed up as badly as it was messed up in the end.
Right. Muddy the waters. Because the reports were that the drug lord hired the cops.
Right.
Correct.
So if they want to distance themselves from it, you just create this big web.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I think. I think the more names that get dragged in with them, the more complicated and confusing it gets, and that's what they want.
You outsource it to some goons on the street to remove yourself a little bit, because you certainly don't want to be law enforcement involved in killing or trying to kill, you know, a guy who's a national hero, you know, so that's maybe why this
is a tangled web.
I
feel like, you know, law enforcement down there, they're the only ones that could get away with killing a national hero. You know what I mean? Like, they're the only ones that could do it and cover it up. So, I mean, it sort of makes some sense. I mean, I hate to, you know, sort of implicate those guys without any facts, but it's just odd to me that it seems like it's a cast of thousands involved in this thing, and it was botched as badly as it was botched. It just sort of raises my antenna a little bit to say, is this all in the up and up?
Okay. It's a messed up situation. Do we have a Gasper and Murray extravaganza tomorrow?
We do. 11-2. First time in a while. We're back together, so I'm sure we'll be frolicking like a couple old pals tomorrow.
Yeah, Jim will be doing a lot of talking. Me, not so much.
Okay.
I never even got your thoughts, or we didn't get your thoughts on, you know, how you felt about the Bruins' failure in Game 7.
Yeah, so we can talk about it tomorrow. And I didn't have to get into a Steph Curry. I didn't have the voice for a Steph Curry argument with Matt.
That'll come tomorrow at 11. Gasper, thanks for coming in.
Good to see you guys.
We have an hour to go, I promise. Right back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday. No commercials here, just a quick update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.